We do pray, Lord. Do you pray, Curtis?
Yes.
Oh, good. Before I start here, I got this little have a good day card from Kaylee. It says, have a good day. And I thought, oh, that's neat. She put it on my Bible before I came up here. And has a little picture of a doggy on the side. It says, have a good day. And there's a picture of a doggy. They just don't go together sometimes. I had a great friend of mine, Carrie and I, she has a birthday in January, I have a birthday in February, and so, or December, excuse me. We've been married for 30 years, but I'm slowly getting to know when her birthday was. She's in December, I'm in February, and so Kathleen McCoy made us a birthday cake, and I love German chocolate cake, a beautiful German chocolate cake, awesome, layered and everything. Oh, it was great, and we had it with ice cream. We had a whole bunch left, and she says, take this home, and I'm going, oh, this will be great. So I took it home, we put it up on our counter, and Carrie put a little lid over the top so it wouldn't dry out and all that stuff. And as you know, we have a new dog in our home, Malibu. Malibu, our little puppy, who's now getting large, they're always cute when they're little, but then they grow. And stuff happens to them. And anyway, so they were down there, and Malibu jumped up and grabbed the cake, pulled it to the floor, and Malibu and our other dog, Allison, ate the whole cake, ate a whole German chocolate cake. All of it. Every last bit of it. Didn't even leave us any crumbs that we could eat. Nothing. Took it all. So I'm a little bummed today because I lost my cake and because of a dog. So it's hard to have a good day and a dog together here, but somehow the Lord will help me. Did the dog survive? Yeah, somebody said that if dogs eat chocolate, a lot of chocolate, they can get sick and die. And so I was praying that wouldn't happen. Praying that wouldn't happen, and God heard my prayers, and the dog is still here. Hallelujah. We've been talking about prayer. I said there's something new in 21:2. I believe that God wants to do in us as a congregation and us as people, as individuals, and I believe that there's a new anointing in prayer. We've been talking about praying in the name of Jesus, and we pray in the name of Jesus. The Bible says we get what we ask for. But we have to pray in His name, and by praying in His name, it means we pray in His power, by His power, and for His purposes, not just our own. But we need to know that we pray in His power and for His purposes. I want to continue on this thought. I'm going to talk about prayer. Why do we keep praying? Why do we keep praying? I'm going to start off with this. There's a boy. And he's about 6 or 7 years old, and he wants a brother. And he goes to his dad, and he says, Dad, I want a baby brother. And the dad says, well, son, you better start praying if you want to have a baby brother. And so he prays for the first month, and nothing happens. And he prays a second month, and nothing happens. And he prays the third month, and nothing happens. And finally, he just quits. Well, 6 months later, his dad takes him to the hospital. And he pulls back the curtain there, and there is a baby brother. And he pulls back the curtain a little further, and there is another baby brother. And he pulls back the curtain a little bit further, and there is another baby brother. The dad looks to the little boy and says, now, aren't you glad you prayed? And the little boy said, yes, but aren't you glad I stopped after 3 months? Why do we keep praying? Why do we keep praying? I was at Robert Morris's church, Gateway Church, and this message is inspired from him and when I was in Dallas. And he asked a couple of questions, and he asked this question. Does God have all power? Answer?
Yes.
Of course. For Him to release that power, do we need to pray? Do we? Do we bother God enough to get Him to finally release power in prayer? Remember, there's this story in Luke that some use and say, there's an unjust judge. He doesn't regard God or man, but he has this woman persistently coming after him, coming after him, coming after him, persistent, persistent, and finally he answers her request. And it says, I'm going to answer because she troubles me or she bothers me. And some use that as an illustration that, well, that's how God is. And therefore, when we bother Him enough, He answers our prayer. Is that true? If we bother Him, if we trouble Him? Now, notice, God isn't an unjust judge, and He's has a regard for man. So I don't know that the parallel is there 100%, but He's saying, if that judge can do it, look what I can do. Look what I can do. But I don't think we go to God and we're bothering Him. When we bother Him enough, finally He goes, all right, get out of my hair. You can have it. Jeez. When we pray, are we trying to talk God into it? When we pray, are we trying to pray enough and persuade Him enough that all of a sudden He answers it? Or do we earn answers by our prayers? So I want to give you a first point here. God has deposited His power in us. God has deposited His power in us. Luke 24:49 says, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power, till a power comes inside of you. Acts 1, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We know that that power then that was supposed to come in us is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes inside, then also a power comes inside of us as well. Now here I want to get to Ephesians 3. And on the day of Pentecost, we know that all that stuff happened. The power fell. The fire fell. I mean, I love the song. But the fire fall, and it fell in Acts chapter 2. But in Ephesians 3:20, it says this. Now don't put the... Oh, you've already put it up there. Never mind. Just put it up there. Go ahead and put it up. Because I was going to ask you a question. It says, Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think... I was going to ask you, what is the last phrase of that passage? And you all know it now, right? Because you can see it. I asked some of my staff the last part of that passage. I said, hey, do you guys know what the last part of that is? I'm going to give you a famous passage. What's the last part? And none of them knew it. So we're looking for new pastors out there. If anybody would like to... No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We have a great pastoral staff. We have great staff here at our church. They're absolutely amazing. They really are. We just had a staff meeting, and never mind. It says, though, He's able to do all that. How? Will we ask or think? According to the, say it with me, power that works in us. There's a power. He's able to do all that, what we ask, what we pray for, by a power that works also in us. How does that relate to everything? God is able to do what you ask or think. Even you, what you can think, what you can imagine, what you can imagine. Do we think up some great, you know, I think when we're young, we think up all these great stuff, and all of a sudden we get older and we quit imagining. And here's something from Mark Batterson. He said this, neuroimaging, where they take pictures of your brain, look at it, see what's going, has shown that as we age, the center of cognitive gravity tends to shift from the imaginative right brain to the logical left brain. And this neurological tendency presents a grave spiritual danger. At some point, most of us stop living out of our imagination and start living out of our memory. We don't dream something bigger. We just go by what's always been. What's always been. What's always been. Not asking God for something that's above what we could ask or think. Instead of creating the future, we start repeating the past. Instead of living by faith, we live by logic. Everything becomes logical. Even our prayer life becomes, okay, I want this to happen, and we think logically how to make that happen. Could it happen? Would it happen? We think of the logical way of that instead of an imagination that blows it way out of the sky that's, it's something crazy and awesome and wonderful and spectacular beyond what we can logically think. You see, we pray and it's based upon our logic, how God can logically answer that rather than supernaturally blow your mind. Bring that solution. And so we pray more logically than we do supernaturally or imaginatively. Thus we go after dreams that don't require prayer. And the God who is able to do amazingly more than all of our right brain can imagine is supplanted by a God, lowercase g, who fits within the logical constraints of our left brain. Everything logical, everything logical, everything logical. But God is able to do all, right? It says in Ephesians, able to do all. How much is that? Is that everything? That's all that you can ask or think, all right? Now that's pretty great. But you know what? Paul here, as he's writing this, says, you know, that's not enough to describe it. He's not able to just do all. All is an inclusive word. It means everything. He can't just do all. If we put all there, he does above all. All right? God does above all. So it's not just all. He's doing above all. But he's not just doing above all. He's doing abundantly. Abundantly above all. But it's not just abundantly above all. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's what he wants to do. And yet our logical mind goes, well, I'm just going to believe for this. And God's going, this is all I can do. And this is above that. And this is exceedingly abundantly. Do you understand what he's trying to get us to believe here? About what prayer can do when you ask. When you ask. But we ask prayers that can logically be answered rather than asking for prayers. What do they say? You don't have a chance? You don't have a prayer? Why is that? Why do we say that? If it's not likely to happen, we say, you don't have a prayer. Shouldn't be that our greatest force? Shouldn't it be when you say, you've got a prayer, then it happens? We say, you don't got a prayer, meaning it can happen. Who's this God we serve? If we've got a prayer, then God can and will do it abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. We need to look at prayer differently rather than logically. And how could it work out? Imaginatively, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. When I think of God's math, you think of God and Jesus is ministering to a whole crowd of 5,000 people, and it's getting time, they're all getting hungry, and so the disciples want to send them away, and Jesus says, hey, you guys feed them. Well, we can't because we have 5 loaves of bread and we've got 2 fishes, right? So 5 plus 2 equals what? 7. Well, in God's math, 5 plus 2 does not equal 7. 5 plus 2, in God's economy, 5 plus 2 equals what? Equals 5,000. Now, that's that new math out there that really helps you. 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. 5,000. That's God's math. We logically look at it and go, we got 5 plus 2, we can feed 7 people. Maybe divide that in half, we can feed 14. But God says 5 plus 2, 5,000. And he doesn't even say 5,000. He says 5 plus 2 equals 5,000, remainder 12. Because they had 12 baskets left over. They had 12 baskets left over. 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. Now that's not logical, is it? That's an imaginative. How are you praying? And not even that. I just love it. Here it is. I give you 5,000 out of all of that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a remainder of more than what we started with. Wow. God, the greatest investment you can make in your life is in prayer. Because God does amazing stuff. He does amazing stuff. What do you do, though, in your life? What do? When the will of God doesn't add up? I.e., he wants me to do that, but I don't know how that can happen. When the will of God for you doesn't add up, the will of God never adds up by human calculation. The will of God never adds up by human calculation. How can I quit that job, come over there, blah, 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 and do that for a whole lot less money because I know that's what God wants me to do, and still make all the ends meet? I don't know. That's what God does. That's what God does. Too often, we let how get in the way of what God wants to do. We let how get in the way of what, because how is the logical part of it. What is the imaginative part of it? But we let how he's going to do it get in the way of what he wants to do in your life. Take some bold steps. Step out in faith and watch a miraculous God who can give you a remainder of 12 from your measly 7. Let me say this. If you never put yourself in, you know, sometimes when we take a step out, it's like, this is crazy. If you felt like, oh my God, this is nuts, this is crazy. But if you never put yourself in this is crazy situations, you'll never experience this is awesome moments. If you never put yourself in this is crazy situations, you'll never experience this is awesome moments. Because that's what God does. Question then. If God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, then why doesn't he? Why doesn't he? Answer, according to the power that works or resides in us. Is the problem with him? Or could the problem be with us? The power that resides in us, in us, in us, in us. Now that Greek word kata is the word according to the power that resides or works in us, according, and that word means it's translated to measure out. To measure out. What are we measuring out? What are we measuring out? God's given us this power, the Spirit of God. He's given us himself. He's placed it inside, the Holy Spirit. This power he talked about in Acts. And now he's saying, are you measuring him out? Are you measuring him out? Are you measuring it out? Are you measuring it out? Or are you just stopping it, stuffing it? Are you measuring out that power? Question is, how much of God's power are you measuring out to your family or to that situation or to that problem or to that issue? What are you measuring out? What are we measuring out? What are we distributing? Is it possible that God is done doing his part, but we still have yet to do our part in this? Let me say it this way. We look at God unlimited, abundantly above, beyond all that we could ask or think, way up there. This is everything, and he does this much more than everything. Could it be that God's unlimited power is limited in my life by my prayers? Could it be that God's unlimited power is limited in my life by my prayers? Psalm 78 says, it talks about the children of Israel as they went through the land, recapping, coming, going through the wilderness and all that experience coming out of Egypt. And it says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. An unlimited God can be limited by a finite man. Wow. In Matthew 13 it says, he didn't do many mighty works in his own city, his own town, because he didn't believe. We can limit the power of God. Number two. We must release the power of God deposited in us by prayer. We release that power that's in us, that he's placed in us, allowing us to do abundantly above what we can ask or think. We release that power by prayer. 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 And I want to talk something here for a moment. I want you to look at power as analogous to a river or water flowing, because I think God and Jesus in this next illustration is that's what he was trying to do. We're talking about this power, this release. This release, this river that's supposed to flow out of us. My question is, do you have a gusher or a trickle? What are you releasing? What are you releasing? Look at it with me in John chapter 7. Does anybody have a bottle of water? I'm sorry, I don't have any water, but I just need a quick drink if I can get it. It says in John 7, thank you, 7:37 through 39. This is a good part for this illustration. Yeah, that's good. Why is it every time you get done drinking, you go, ah? Huh? Because it's good, right? But you know what? Ah, is a sign of? satisfaction. When you go, that means you are satisfied. I'm satisfied. Gratification right there. On the last day of the great day of the feast. Now I want to talk to you about the feast that's happening here. This feast, it's an interesting feast. There's no precedent for it. We don't even know exactly what it's about, honestly. We don't know where it came from. But I can tell you what happened in this 8-day feast. This 8-day feast, on the first 7 days, they're praying for water. They're praying for water. They think that maybe it comes back to and relates back to when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and Moses struck the rock and the water came out. Because I'll tell you what, when you're in a desert, you need water. You can't live long without water, can you? And so they were talking about it, even for their own day, that they needed water. And so they would pray for water to come. And on the 8th day, what they would do, the priest would go to the pool of Siloam. He'd pull out a vial of water. This is on the 8th day. He'd bring it to the altar. They'd mix it with wine. They'd pour it on the sacrifice, and they'd burn it up. Lord, send the water. Send the rain. Send the refreshment. Now, notice, that's what's happening. That's what's taking place. This is the cultural thing that's happening. And on the 8th day, here's what Jesus says. Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts. Can you imagine? He's great at using the right illustration at the right time, isn't he? I mean, they're all into this water thing right now. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. And he gives a clue to this again. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. He was talking about that same Holy Spirit that was to give them a power, was going to be called a river of living water that was supposed to be gushing out of them. And that's what's in us. That living water that we can gush out on people. We can extend toward people, whether it be for salvation or power or something else. And my question is, do you have a gusher coming out of you? Or is it just barely trickling? Is there just a drop? What's there? He said, I'll give you a flow of rivers of living water out of your very being. So my question is, how much power or how much Holy Spirit power or how much living water is flowing out of you? How much is flowing? Is it possible that you have your hand on the faucets, on the faucet of God's power in your life? We can turn it on. Or that you're going to control it? You're going to control the flow? He gives you a river, but you can dam it up. You don't want to ever be dammed. Think about that for a moment. Let me say this. We have more faith in the hot water faucet than we do in our prayer. Meaning this. Remember I said you're ushering this out? You're letting it out? You have these rivers of living water inside of you, able to do abundantly above and beyond what we ask or think by the power that's already in us, this living water, this Spirit. And he's saying he wants you to let it out. But we have more faith in the hot water than we do in our prayers. When we're praying and we're letting it out and we're praying to God. You know when you turn the hot water on in your house? Now if you turn the hot water on in my house, if you're in the kitchen and turn the hot water on and put your hand there, you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. You make a sandwich and you wait. And you wipe down the counters and you put the dishes in the dishwasher and you wait. My wife's looking at me like, who does that? You're waiting, waiting, waiting. Because don't you know it's going to turn to hot water, right? Now, our hot water heater, I think, is over next door in Curtis's house because it takes that long for it to get to us. But we have that idea that if we wait and we wait, it will come. Let me say this. In prayer, in prayer, in prayer, we turn the faucet of prayer on and it's cold, so we turn it back off. Shh. No, not working. Shh. Come a day later. Shh. I think it'll work. Instead of knowing, if I leave this faucet on, it may feel cold, but it's going to get hot. Is that how you pray? I'm gushing it out. Yeah, I know it may feel cold now, but you just wait, baby. You just wait. You watch. You watch God. You watch what God's going to do. You watch what God's going to do. Hey. Feel it warming up. Feel it warming up. Is that how we pray? Is that how we gush it out? Is that how we release it? Why keep praying? Because it's going to get hot. It's going to get hot. Don't stop. Why did Elijah pray 7 days for what God already told him was going to happen? It's going to rain. So he prays for 7 days for God's, what he wanted to have happen, to have happen. In Daniel, it says this. Remember Daniel chapter 2, and he's praying? In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. Must have been on a diet. No meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Verse 12, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, look at this, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words, your prayers, what you were asking, were heard. And I have come because of your words, because of your prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Here's what I want to say. The first day you prayed, the very first day you pray, the first day that Daniel prayed, the answer left heaven. It left heaven. But there's a war about us. There's an enemy who doesn't want the things of God to come to pass. There's a war. But he continued in prayer. He continued in prayer. And his continuation in prayer brought the victory. Because you kept praying, I will break through. The answer was sent the first day you prayed. What would have happened if Daniel would have stopped on day 20? It's not getting hot. It's not getting hot. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to keep praying. My question is this. What are you praying about that is done in the heavenlies, but we need to move it from heaven to earth? Do you see what happened with Daniel? It was answered in the heavenlies, but Daniel, by his prayers, were moving the answer from heaven and the blockage, if you will, and he was moving it down here to earth. His continual, consistent prayer was moving the answer from heaven to earth. Ephesians 1:3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many spiritual blessings do you have? How many? How many? All of them, right? Every one of them. Why don't you see all of them in your life? Because you need to move them from heaven to earth. You need to move them. How do you do that? By prayer. Pray. 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 Thirdly, let me bring this to a close here. God adds his fire or power to our prayers. God adds his fire or power to our prayers. Let me look at Revelation 5:8. Now, Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense. And what's these golden bowls are full of incense. And what are they? They're the prayers of the saints. So here are these golden bowls, and they contain the prayer, they contain our prayers, if you will. Revelation 8. I'll tie something together here. So these containers that store our prayers, so to speak, in a heavenly concept or understanding, are holding these prayers. Verse 1 of Revelation 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there were silence in heaven for about half an hour. Somebody told me that that's the reason why some people believe there will be no women in heaven. But just kidding. I didn't say that. Somebody else said it. I'm just teasing. Seriously. I guess if that were the case, there would be no pastors in heaven either, so, because they can't keep quiet either. It says, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, this golden censer again, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense. Remember that incense is the prayer of the saints? That he should offer it with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayer of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. Now here, an idea of what may be happening here. I don't pretend to know all of that by any means. But I wonder if he's saying that there's before heaven, our prayers go up. We pray. And then there's these bowls up here. And our prayers get in there and they start filling them up. You start filling them up. When they get filled up, this angel hears. He grabs a coal, this power, this fire from the altar, and he puts it in there, mixes it with the prayers of the saints, and then he dumps the answer, if you will, back down to the earth. Full of power, full of grace, full of awesomeness. What if? Why keep praying? Because I'm filling something up that God wants to mix with his power, and he wants us to bring the heavens down here in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand that the Lord's prayer is pulling heaven down on earth? It's pulling it down. It's moving the principles, the things, the items, the prayer requests from heaven down here to earth so they become a reality. And he's saying, I hear you. And those prayers that go up and fill up those bowls, the angel in heaven mixes it with fire and pours the answer back upon us. He's pouring out for us. And my question is this. How full are your bowls? How full are your bowls? How full are your prayers for your family, for your job, for your finances, for whatever issue, for a salvation, for a loved one? How full are they? Because God wants to mix it with his fire and send back an answer. Why keep praying? Because you bring heaven down to earth. If we'll not stop. Father, I thank you. Lord, that you want us to pray. That there's something inside of us that you place, that Holy Spirit, that unction. That as we use it and let that living water flow out of us, that you want to do some miraculous things. You want us, oh God, with our prayers to bring heaven down here on earth. That the principalities, the concepts, the understanding of heaven would become a reality in our lives upon this earth. We need a heavenly awakening, Lord, upon our land. We need the principles of heaven to be deposited upon the earth, that we truly might walk the way you intended us to, Lord. Help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, Lord, not to stop, but to realize the power that we have as it's mixed with heaven, as it ascends, you pour out a power. It's absolutely amazing. Let us fill them up, Lord. Let's fill them up, Lord, as we pray in Jesus' name for all of the things that your will wants to be done here on this earth. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Let me end by saying this. On Wednesday nights, we're praying. The next couple of months, we're going to do that. I know for some people, it's like, oh, that's a little scary. That's a little nerve-wracking. You know what? You'll never grow if you don't push yourself into an area that you feel uncomfortable. If all you do is go to a place you're comfortable, you'll only be in a place you feel comfortable. You got to move past that. I believe God's given us a brand new anointing for prayer, and that means He's going to move us in a brand new way. Something new in 21-2. Something new, something different, something fresh, something exciting, something bold, something dangerous, something illogical, something imaginative, something that God wants to do. If we'll start agreeing, start praying, and let out of our being prayers that bring heaven. We'll give Him all the glory and all the praise. But I want to be a part of it. In Jesus' name. So come. Starts right on the button at 7 o'clock. Right at 7. We're going to start with a couple of worship songs. We're going to get into some prayer. All different ways we're going to pray. So if you don't like to pray in a group, hey, we'll do different things. Don't worry about it. They'll be individual, together, corporate. It's going to vary. But we're going to start believing God for some imaginative things so that He can do and bring heaven down here on earth. Please, 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 please come. Please come. I'm not just saying that for myself. I think I'm saying that, speaking it from the Lord. Please come. Try it. Let's rejuvenate our prayer life. Let's rejuvenate the thing that's so critical, our communion with our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. As I dismissed, if you have prayer requests, you have prayer needs as we're talking, realizing there's some areas I need to fill up, I need some other people to help join me, there's going to be people along the front here that will be able to pray with you. You don't have to be a member of this church. You just have to be a person who needs Jesus. Come on up here. They'll pray for you. And where two or more are gathered, God does some amazing and powerful things. Let's agree together to see heaven upon our earth. God bless you guys. I love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you.